Thanks for downloading My Mac Podcast number 99. I'm Tim Robertson.
I'm Chad Perry.
And you know, Chad, over the last 99 podcasts, we've had a number of different themes.
I don't remember any of them.
You don't remember any of them?
No.
Well, let's go ahead and play all of them back to back. And it's going to get a little annoying with the same announcer over and over, but what the heck, it's the 99th podcast.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry. The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry. The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. From the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry. The next generation of radio, it's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
And of course, we'd like to thank Adam Raymer from Madtown Aces Productions, who's done our voiceover for the last 99 episodes.
Almost. Yeah. He did them from almost the very beginning, which was really cool. And I love his voice. He's got such a great voice. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you guys, any of you listening, has a podcast and you're looking for
that polish,
yep, he's going to be the person to go
to. Right.
So it's, go ahead.
Madtown Aces Productions.
Yep, just do a Google search. You'll find them. And tell them you were sent there by the MyMac.com guys.
Yep.
And, of course, our theme itself, Kevin Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
And that one still gets me.
Yep.
I mean, there are days, I'll admit, that Chad and I sit down to do the podcast and we're like, oh, we're just tired from work. Or, you know, I've been working on a house. Chad's been doing stuff here at home. And you know, you just don't, you can't always get up for it.
Right.
We play that theme and we're there. We're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, okay, podcast time.
Fired up.
Yeah. Speaking of podcast time, this is the 99th episode. And we've got one more this week we're going to be recording. And that's going to be Saturday. That's the 23rd of September.
At 3 p.m. at the Grand Rapids Apple Store in the Woodland Mall. And we're going to have Tim there, Guy Searle there.
We'll see who else.
Prizes there.
We got a lot of prizes to give away. I went out and bought raffle tickets today. We figured that would probably be the easiest way of giving stuff away.
And the fairest, so.
And the fairest, absolutely. Of course, if there's not a lot of people there, you never know. You might not even need a raffle
That's
ticket.
That's true.
Okay, who had the first one? Okay, which prize do you want? I don't know if what we'll do probably is give out the raffle tickets, of course.
Yeah.
And then for the winners, we'll just put a raffle ticket on each prize and then pick up the ticket and say, okay, who's so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
Who's number 001?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you win the copy of Microsoft Office 2004.
Yeah.
You know, and Microsoft Office 2004 is a $399 value.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really demonstrates why you don't name your product after a year.
That's right.
You know, I think that's a very bad
precedent.
You know.
But you know, Apple does it. iWork, iLife 06, iLife 05, iLife 05.
But they always come out every year.
Yeah, this is
you
true.
Know, if it was 2-3 years between product lifetimes, if you're sitting at the end of 2006 and you need Office, don't you feel goofy buying Office 2004?
Yeah.
because you know Office 2007 is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, we've got a new story on that. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but yep. Let's jump into the news and see what happens during the show. We do have our buddy called in again.
Yeah?
Yep.
So cool. Ivan. Got some from Ivan.
Yep. And that's going to be kind of pretty much the focus of the show, his call.
Really?
And talking about his question.
Town? Okay, yeah. Cool.
Disney CEO, Apple's iTV to support a hard drive.
Robert Iger, CEO at Disney, told attendees at the Goldman Sachs conference that he has seen Apple's upcoming iTV device in action and that it has a hard drive, a feature that many assumed would be missing, reports iPod Observer. Iger said it can also stream it live through the box or to the TV, or it has a small hard drive on it so that it can download what you put on the device, on your computer, on your iTunes, through the television set.
In a related story, Iger was attacked by an unidentified man in a black turtleneck shortly after the event, and Iger remains hospitalized to this day.
Now, this...
No.
This attacker was reported wearing long blonde hair, but people thought it looked fake. So,
have you seen the Peyton Manning commercial?
Which
That's
one?
Kind of what it reminds me of, where he's got the fake wig and the fake mustache. And
oh, yeah, you know, that was good. I've only seen that once, but that's a great ad.
Disney sees $5 million in revenue.
50.
Did I miss a zero?
You missed a zero.
Disney sees $5 million. No, it's 50, really?
Yeah, 50.
Really? $50 million?
In the first year. On iTunes.
Robert Iger, chief executive of Walt Disney Company, who got beat up by Steve Jobs yesterday, said that the company sold 125,000 movie downloads worth $1 million in revenue through Apple's iTunes online music store during the offering's first week, reports Reuters. See, I got it right that time.
Yeah.
Disney, which has placed 75 movies for download on iTunes last week, expects the movie downloads to generate $50 million in added revenue during its first year of the program, Iger said. $50 million in 1 year and zero distribution costs to Disney.
Yep.
Hmm.
Looks like that beat might have done him some good, or at least influenced his ideas.
You know, this is just going to cause the other studio execs...
They're going to be jumping on board this thing.
Excuse me, Mr. Jobs. Hi, this is Terry at Paramount.
Yeah.
We really like to put some movies on there. What kind of deal can we work out?
No kidding.
That's a lot of money. And
no marketing,
right.
No distribution.
No.
No pressing any vinyl, pressing any plastic.
And this is not like, let's be quite honest, the latest Disney movies aren't very good.
Yeah.
They're not the big blockbusters. Mm-hmm. I mean, the big one that they were showing up there was what? Pirates of the Caribbean,
right.
Which came out, 3 years ago? 2 years ago? That's not even the new one. And that's like the top-selling movie.
Yeah.
It's old. Imagine if they had first-run movies up there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that were big blockbusters.
Yeah.
I see this as a huge business for... Look, movies I don't think are as good as they have been. In recent years, they just haven't been as good. Okay.
Oh, I think they go through fits and runs.
I do too.
I think there's always good movies out, but some of them just get buried.
Yep.
Because they're either small, because they're either done by independents or
right. And word of mouth only goes so far when it comes to getting someone to go to an actual movie theater or go to Blockbuster Video and rent that movie because they hear about it, but then they physically have to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine reading someone's email. Oh, you should really check out this movie. That person can include the iTunes music link.
Mm-hmm.
To the store, right there in their email, you can click and go, yeah, I'll buy it. What the heck? It's only $9.99.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Just like that.
Yep.
That's why I think movie download service is going to be huge. $50 million in 1 year. That may, and of course, he's projecting that by saying, okay, we sold $1 million worth in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
There's 52 weeks in a year. A couple of weeks probably won't do quite as good because this is still a new offering.
Right.
So we'll probably do $50 million. Pretty easy arithmetic there. I think he's off. I think if Apple comes out with a true video player and the ITV hits big, I think they'll do a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Plus, like I said, there's no brand new movies that are sitting there that people are clamoring to see. Now imagine when Cars hits.
Or Pirates of the Caribbean 2.
Yeah, which is just right around the corner.
Yeah.
Those will generate a lot more money, a lot more interest, and I think he'll see a lot more money than $50 million in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I think a year from now, we're going to be reading a story on the podcast. Disney sold $157 million worth of movies last year Remember when they were only projecting 100 million or 50 million in the first year? You know, I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be huge. Mm. And the more, I know some people are thinking, well, the more movies that get put in there by other studios, that's going to dilute how many movies Disney sells. I don't think so. I think it's going to have just the opposite effect. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to have, it's going to be more populated, the movies.
Yeah.
That means more customers who bought this also bought that, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's going to force studios to put movies in there, even the older ones, more frequently than what they're probably used to doing now.
Well, and just like with iTunes, with the music portion of it, it's going to drive more browsing.
People are going to start checking it out. It's not just the Disney stuff. It's it's everything.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to be big. That's what's going to drive it to the next level.
Yep. Next, Apple posts several Mac Pro firmware updates. Apple has posted several firmware updates for Mac Pros to their website. This includes the Mac Pro mid-2006 EFI firmware update 1.0.
And there's a bunch more. If you guys want to check it out, if you've got a Mac Pro, obviously run your software utility updater.
They've also got some updates for Mac Minis, MacBook Pros, and the MacBooks.
So. Yep. I haven't checked mine yet, but I think mine's going to be covered. Yours probably will be, too.
Yeah. These are for early 2006, and we didn't get ours till mid-2006.
Mid-2006, true, but you never know when it was actually manufactured. So we'll have to see.
Yep.
Apple notes iTunes 7 support issues. Apple has started publishing support documents noting several support issues with its recently released iTunes 7 software, notes Macworld UK. Several of the advisories issued so far include
iTunes 7 won't play interactive booklets purchased from iTunes Store.
AirTunes won't connect to remote speakers.
Album art does not download properly.
And more. Check out the further details at Macworld's UK site.
Yep.
So, I haven't had any issues.
No, I haven't either. But, you know, I don't really do downloaded books. And
that's true. Neither do I. Neither do I.
And I don't use AirTunes.
So. A person I know where I've been freelancing recently uses iTunes. I think he said he was still on iTunes 5.
Wow.
And he had given up downloading the latest ones because every time he would download, it would mess something up. Either a playlist would mess up, his ratings would go away, something would always break. And I told him, I haven't had any issues at all with 7.
I've never had those issues.
Yeah, I haven't had any with version 7. And then the next day, or actually that night, I was reading about all these issues, and I thought, ooh, maybe I should tell him about that. So I go in the next day, see him immediately, he goes, oh, I downloaded iTunes 7, worked great. I was like, whew. I was like, yeah, I figured it would for you.
There you go, buddy.
Apple's going to open up 3 new U.S. retail stores, one in Providence, Rhode Island.
One in Columbia, Maryland.
And one in Omaha, Nebraska. So lucky Mac users in those areas, got a new Apple store coming.
Yep.
Let's see, September 23rd. Something really cool is going to be happening at the Grand Rapids, Michigan Apple Store.
Indeed.
Of course, we are talking about our 100th episode going to be recorded live at the Apple Store. We can always use more people to show up to get more free swag. We'd really like to talk to as many people as we can while we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're going to have a get-together after the event itself at the Grand Rapids Brewery Company.
Yep.
And if you don't know where the Grand Rapids Brewery Company is, just talk to us at the show, and we'll tell you how to get there. And it's going to be real simple. It's
or just
follow
Yahoo
us.
Map it or Google it.
Yeah, or just follow us.
Yeah,
follow. Where do we go? Adobe announces Creative Suite 2.3. Mm. This is really the first time Adobe's released a big major point release to the Creative Suite.
Adobe Systems Today announced that Adobe Acrobat 8 Professional will be integrated into Adobe Creative Suite 2.3 Premium. The company says Adobe Acrobat 8 Professional enhances Adobe Creative Suite 2.3 and its support for Adobe PDF workflows with advanced tools for creating, collaborating, and controlling the output of high-quality Adobe PDF files.
Creative Suite 2.3 Premium also bundles Dreamweaver 8, the company's web design and development tool, which they just bought from Macromedia. Adobe expects to ship Adobe Creative Suite 2.3 plus Dreamweaver 8 for Windows and Macintosh in English, French, German, and Japanese in the fourth quarter 2006, which starts now.
Estimated street prices will be U.S. $1,199, that's $1,199.
That's for the full version, premium.
$159 for the upgrade from Adobe Creative Suite 2 Premium.
So if I wanted to upgrade, it's going to cost me $159.
And $549 for an upgrade from Creative Suite 1.x.
The OS X, yep, the OS 10 version of Acrobat 8 Professional is a universal binary and will install on the Intel and PowerPC-based Macintosh systems.
Nice.
So Acrobat 8 will be the first
Adobe application. That's a unary.
It's about time.
Yeah.
So it does show that, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, Adobe's just going to take their time and maybe they won't really upgrade. And yes, they are upgrading and it's coming. And the first one is going to be Acrobat. So there you go.
Yep.
Napster Exploring Sale.
Napster, the remade version of the popular internet music sharing service, is in talks over a sale or possible strategic partnership, the company said Monday.
The announcement came as a steady stream of new competitors enter the internet music sale market, including SanDisk with partnerships with Real Networks and Microsoft with its Zune Marketplace strategy. It also comes amidst a sharp downturn in user figures for Napster, which has seen its user base erode to about 500,000 people from 606,000 people.
So they've lost 100,000 people in 3 months.
Yep.
So.
The company reported a net loss of $9.8 million in the 3 months ending June 30th on revenues of $28.1 million. Now, is this just, iTunes is better kind of story for us? No.
No.
Because, quite honest, I want some of these other online distribution, music, movie stores to succeed. Why?
Because I don't want to be paying $1.99 per song in 3 years.
That's right. I want to be spending less than 99 cents song, yeah. per song. I want Apple to continue to innovate, to continue to make their online store bigger, better, and crush everybody else as far as features and price and everything. Because that's better for me.
Yep.
If Apple is the only game in town, whatever Apple wants to do, Apple can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always good for the consumer.
Yep.
When you have one company that totally dominates something, obviously they got there most of the time through innovation or pricing, right?
Right.
Well, Apple got there through innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's be honest, 99 cents a song really isn't that great a deal.
Right.
They got there through innovation and a hot product in the iPod, which they innovated.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Whew. Senseo. Sorry, that's Adam Curry thing. So we want these other companies to succeed. I hope the Zune becomes very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I want the iPod to be more popular.
Right.
Because I have a interest in Apple succeeding. I mean,
and a bias towards Apple products.
That's right. Well, I don't have a bias toward... I'm not of the mindset that Apple can do no wrong.
Oh, anybody who's listening to this podcast knows neither of us feel that way.
Yep. But we have a preference for their products simply because they tend, and they generally tend to work better than the rest.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. But not in a non-competitive market.
Mm-hmm.
If they're the only game in town, what you got is good enough, and they're still going to make money, so why are they going to bother to innovate?
Mm-hmm.
Apple is still a small company. When you compare them to somebody like Intel or Microsoft, or they're a small company.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do better than the big guys if they want to compete, if they want to stay ahead. And I think what they've done with the iTunes Music Store as of late, adding movies, television shows, I mean, all this stuff, shows that Apple is trying to keep on top of it.
Now, just a question, just to banter some stuff back and forth. Do you think that they did the announcement this month on the movies because of the Zune release?
No, I think they did it more or less because of the Amazon announcement of selling and renting videos.
Yeah.
Which is PC only. You can't watch those on a Mac. Oh, well, you can't watch it on Mac OS X. You can watch it on a Mac as long as you boot up into Windows. But I think that's kind of why they announced it now.
Yeah.
You got to look at the offerings that Amazon has, and they have every major movie studio selling through them. I don't know if Disney is or not, but I believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple only has the Disney movies.
So
how come Amazon's not getting all the press? Why isn't anybody talking about Amazon's video service? Because it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because Amazon is really good at shipping a book to you that you buy. Apple or Amazon is very good at recommending other books that you'll probably like based on the books that you've looked at in the past.
Right.
Amazon is very good at using to do research on products. Is this product good? Because mm-hmm. you can see what other customers have
right.
said. I don't think Amazon is good at distributing video online for a profit. I don't think that that's really their core business model.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is Apple's core business right now, or one of them anyways. Mm-hmm. That's why Apple released the news of... I don't think they were really ready. I think they wanted to come out with a video player, a video iPod, that has a bigger screen that everybody's going to want to buy. I don't think they were ready to announce that yet, but they couldn't let the movie store linger any longer
right.
with everybody else coming out with content. The other thing is places like NBC are now and ABC are offering a lot of their programming for free with commercial content on their website.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to compete with. Well, I can spend $1.99 to watch My Name is Earl here, or I can watch it free at NBC.com.
Yeah.
Let me think about it for a while. You know, of course, you can't keep it. You can only watch it in your web browser.
Mm-hmm.
But why are you going to pay for something if you can get it for free?
Yeah.
Convenience. That's really the only thing that Apple's mm-hmm. going to be able to offer over and above the free stuff.
Right.
The convenience being with the ITV, I can stream it to my home theater and I can watch it sitting on my couch. I can put it on my iPod and I can watch it on the tram as I'm going to wherever.
Mm-hmm.
The kids can watch it on the iPod in the back seat. I mean, it's the convenience factor that you don't have to be connected to the internet to view something.
Right.
That's where Apple's going to win if they win. With $1.99 per episode. And let's be honest, NBC would much rather have Apple win because...
They'll make money.
They're not making any money with... Well, obviously they're getting commercials.
Yeah.
But I think a much larger percentage of their revenue will come from Apple selling it for $2 a pop than they will from an advertiser.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah, who knows?
The last story we've got is... Microsoft lifts lid on Office 2007 for Mac.
Details have begun to emerge from the forthcoming version of Microsoft Office 2007 for Macs. Mary Starman, Group Project Manager at Microsoft's Macintosh Business Unit, offered several insights as to how the new Office will look and feel in an interview with APC Magazine.
The new version will be written in Universal Binary, providing a performance boost for new Intel-based Macs. The Mac version will use the XML file format as in Office 2007 for Windows, which should make for easy file sharing between the platforms.
Microsoft's new ribbon interface that has had the PC world abuzz, however, will not be making its way into the Mac OS.
Go ahead.
We will be doing a user interface refresh, but it will not be exactly like you see in the Office 2007, said Starman. It would just not make sense.
Starman estimates the launch of the new Office for the Mac to take place 6 to 8 months after Office 2007, or Office 2007 for Windows.
Yep.
Which will suck.
Yeah, I've never seen the ribbon interface, so I'm not sure.
Oh, it's...
I like the palette.
It's really hard to explain. Well... You should jump on and do a Google search for it. It's different. It's really different.
Mm.
But I don't know if it's really better, you know. But, mm-hmm. of course, the palette design has been around for, what, 25 years now?
Yeah.
Realistically.
Well, Adobe, yeah.
Yeah. Well, not just Adobe, but I mean, yeah. palettes have been around for mm-hmm. a long time. So maybe Microsoft is onto something trying to innovate a new user interface
mm-hmm.
for applications. I don't think this ribbon design that they're using is it. I think realistically it's probably going to be something like the Tom Cruise movie where he's moving monitors with his fingers in midair.
No.
That's what I'm waiting
there
for.
There you go.
That's what I want.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Ivan Marshall calling from Southfield, Michigan. I had a couple of questions in regards to how much RAM is actually needed running the latest operating system on Intel Mac machines to really deal with Rosetta and all the other high-level functions you may be doing. Is 1 gig where you really need to be, or do you need 2? And is there a significant difference between 1 gig and 2 gigs, or 1 and 1.5?
Okay, first of all, yes, there is a significant difference between 1 gig and 2 gigs.
Yeah.
You will see a big speed improvement in almost everything.
Now, as to what you minimally need, I mean, the MacBook that I got, and I think Tim's MacBook Pro, or at least my MacBook, shipped with 512 meg, which...
really isn't enough.
It was sufficient, but definitely I saw a much bigger boost in improvement when I went up to 2 gig.
The biggest difference that you're going to see is how many applications you're going to have running at any one time and what kind of applications those are. For instance, if you've got iTunes running, that shouldn't be a problem with 512 megs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you open up Safari at the same time, iPhoto at the same time, and then for whatever reason you open up iMovie, it's going to slow significantly. It's going to take more time to switch between applications, and the response time is going to go way down with less RAM.
Yep.
As far as Rosetta is an amazing piece of technology that I don't think most people give it credit for. Basically, what Rosetta is virtual PC on the Mac platform for the older Mac platform.
Yep.
Applications that were designed to run in the PowerPC architecture, i.e. Power Macs, PowerBooks, the older iMacs, those are, you know, pre-Intel machines.
Yep.
Totally different architecture. It's kind of like, what's a good analogy? I'm drawing a blank. I had a really good one when I first listened to his phone call, and now it escapes me.
Well, it's a high-speed translator is basically what it is.
Right, but I'm trying to figure, how about this? You buy a new car, but you want to, what, put an old engine in it? No, that doesn't work, does it?
No.
Can't think of a really good analogy right now. I'm just drawing a blank.
No.
Basically, it's a translation program that will take the PowerPC code and translate it into code that the Intel chip can understand and act upon. Now, when you think about how many different commands one program can do, just Photoshop, for instance, when it puts a Gaussian blur on an image or that sort of thing, even when the program's starting up for the first time, that takes a lot of translation power.
Yep.
Rosetta does it flawlessly for almost every application. I know that there was some timing issues in video projects people were working on when they first had Rosetta, but I think those have been taken care of pretty much now.
Right.
That it the timing issues were kind of a problem. But for what it does, Rosetta is simply amazing. If virtual PC worked as well as Rosetta, or if any virtualization type of program worked like Rosetta worked, you would simply click on a... That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
It would be like running a Windows game on your Mac without having Windows installed on that machine.
Yeah.
You would click a Windows application or a game in the Mac, and it would just run it.
Yep.
And it might be a little bit slower, but it would definitely be playable or usable.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with PowerPC-based applications going to an Intel Mac.
Yep.
Exactly the same. But it's doing it behind the curtain. There's no interface to Rosetta. There's no settings to change or anything. Mm-hmm. It just does it, and it just works.
Yep.
It's a marvel. So the more RAM you have, the better it's going to be. Now, it does get to a point where you have to ask, do I really need 5 gigs of memory in this machine? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Anything over, I would say, a gig and a half for most users probably isn't going to be used that much.
Yeah.
You probably don't need more than 1.5 gigabytes of RAM, at least yet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's going to depend on what you're doing.
Yep.
If you're doing heavy video editing, yeah, you want to get as much RAM as you can.
Secondly, I wanted to see, in the case of the Mac Pro, who is this machine overkill for? Who actually needs a Mac Pro, and who could get by with an iMac, and they're really wasting their money on a Mac Pro? They may like to be seen with one, or the sophistication of having one, but if it's way more powerful for what you do, who is the Mac Pro really aimed for, and who needs Mac Pro, and who can get by, say, with a 250-gig hard drive and an iMac and external extension? For instance, you buy a 250-gig backup hard drive or a second hard drive and hook it up FireWire. Is that enough, or do you really need to be able to insert additional hard drives in your computer like a Mac Pro or PCI cards and things like that. Most people don't upgrade that much. So who is it intended for? And maybe that will help the public save a little money and not spend it on something that needs to be left to the pros at the top. Thanks. Got a good show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, the compliment. And
that was a good question,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and it's an excellent question. And it's not an easy one to answer, but let's try to give an easy answer to it as much
sure.
as we can. First, most people, most Mac users, don't need a Mac Pro.
Right.
Most Mac users can get away with, especially that 24-inch iMac. I mean,
mm-hmm.
For me, the biggest reason to have a desktop machine, i.e. not one with a screen built in, was so I can have a large monitor.
Mm-hmm.
When the 20-inch iMacs came out, I thought, you know what? At this point, I could really go with that. A 20-inch screen is large enough for me mm-hmm. as a power user to use.
Yep.
However, I really like having dual screens. In other words, mm-hmm. and I talked about this on mini podcast number 8, I have a 23-inch screen and then I have a 19-inch screen right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
I need the screen real estate quite often. Not every time I use a computer. If I'm just checking email, I don't need two monitors.
Right.
But when I'm using Photoshop and I've got a huge graphic, mm-hmm. it really helps to be able to put my palettes on one side.
Yep.
Or I can have multiple documents open because I do a lot of editing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's posted up on the feature site at mymac.com, I have to edit.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helps me formatting-wise. Say John Nemirovsky sends me a review and he has some text in bold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I'm doing the HTML work on that, it really helps me to be able to look at his original compared to what I'm working on.
Right.
So I can highlight what he wanted highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
If I only have one monitor, I have to switch back and forth between those open applications. And while that works, it slows me down. So with a G5 or now a Mac Pro, I could easily hook up two monitors, and they're not mirrored. So in other words, if I move my mouse from my main monitor, it moves right over to the second monitor.
Yep.
That really helps me be more efficient and faster when I'm working and more accurate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help me web browsing. It
yep.
doesn't help me check an email. It doesn't help me in iMovie simply because iMovie, everything is one window. There isn't mm-hmm. multiple windows or multiple palettes or anything
yep.
like that with an iMovie.
So basically, who needs the Mac Pro? I would say anybody who does a lot of video editing or whose business relies on video
speed.
Editing or who does a lot of music mixing.
Yep. The thing about the Mac, yes, anybody can buy a FireWire external hard drive, and it seems pretty fast. When you copy a file, let's say you grab a 5 gigabyte file and copy it over to an external FireWire hard drive, be it FireWire 800 or FireWire mm-hmm. 400, it moves pretty quick. It doesn't come close to the speed that if you have an internal SATA drive in a Mac Pro.
Right.
Those speeds are significantly faster. A lot of people, they'll buy a Macintosh, they'll only look at how much RAM they have and how fast the processor is. Those are two very important categories when it comes to how fast your machine is mm-hmm. going to be. There's a third that a lot of people overlook. They look at the hard drive and they'll say, wow, that's a 250 gig hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
But they never look at the RPMs.
The RPMs is how fast that hard drive can access data on itself. A 10,000 RPM hard drive is very fast.
Yep.
A 7,200 RPM hard drive is pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
A 5,400 RPM, which you'd find in the older iMacs and most of the PowerBooks,
mm-hmm.
is pretty slow. So launching an application, remember, isn't really determined on the processor speed only or the RAM. It's also dependent on how fast that hard drive can retrieve that information and give it over to the processor.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, how fast the bus speed is and all that.
Right.
So why would you need a Mac Pro is really what he's asking. Who really needs somebody that has a lot of data, large files, and Chad said video and music. That's probably the two biggest file size program
mm-hmm.
tasks that anyone's going to perform on a machine nowadays.
Yep.
Of course, there's scientific studies and stuff like
right.
that I really don't know anything about. John Martellaro would be someone that you could ask that about.
Right.
If you're dealing with huge files and you need it to be as fast and efficient as possible, you need internal hard drives. You don't need them slaved on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
A lot you will see a lot of external hard drives on G5s and Mac Pros, those are usually backup only.
Mm-hmm.
They simply back up what's on the internal drives. One of the reasons I really like the new MacBooks or the new Mac Pros is that it can have all those drives and they're so easy to install.
Yeah.
Because I use a lot of hard drive space.
Yep.
But I do a lot of project. I do a lot of video work. And the thing about my video work is I won't just save it every time. Sometimes I'll do a save as, so I can go back to a previous version.
Yep.
And I can go, oh, I remember when I did that on that, and you know, I wanted to change it a little bit, but I still wanted to preserve the original.
Mm-hmm.
I might just copy the entire file and then open the copy and rename it or what have you.
Right.
So I'll have, you know, on one drive, a couple hundred gigabytes of just one video project,
mm-hmm.
even though it may be, you know, 10 or 11 different versions of the same video. But I really do need those because a lot of times the client will see something, they'll suggest changes. And you can go back and do those changes, but if you work on the original, you can't go back to that original perfectly because what if they go, well, I don't like it, let's go back to the way it was. Oh, crap, I just changed all this stuff. Now I'm going to have to go back and make it again. Well, no, not mm-hmm. if you just simply copy the file. But then you're starting to eat up all that hard drive space.
Yep.
And time is money when it comes to design firms and people mm-hmm. who work on films and stuff like that. You have to have fast hard drives. And you want to get the fastest processor you can. More importantly than either one of those is expandability. So as time goes on, this very expensive investment of $4,000, $5,000 Mac Pro that mm-hmm. I bought with all this hard drive all this hard drive space, what happens when, oh, you know what? These hard drives are just too small. I need something larger now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you have an external hard drive, you just plug another FireWire cable in. But again, that's not going to be that fast.
Right.
I can just put more hard drives within the Mac Pro. I keep wanting to say MacBook.
Yeah.
The Mac Pro, and it's easily expandable. You mm-hmm. should be able to, and in fact I know with the Mac Pros, you can actually upgrade the processor.
Yep.
As Chad knows all too well, what you can get out of a faster processor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before you got the G5, you had a Power Mac G4, and it was a 400 megahertz when you first got it?
400 megahertz originally, and we upgraded it with a Sonnet 1 gig processor, and that was really a significant jump in processor speed and in what I could use it for.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a significant change in using GarageBand, and I mean, that was
the big reason that that Chad upgraded that G4 is because at 400 megahertz, man, everything was just slow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that would have been a 400 megahertz iMac, you would have had to buy a whole new machine.
Right.
You're not going to upgrade an iMac. Same way with the new iMacs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're fast right now, but will they be fast 2.5 years down the road?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. At least, you know, a lot of people say, well, you're never going to need more than that. You know, that's always the argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when I had 4 megs of RAM in my machine, and I thought, good Lord, 4 megs, there's nothing I can't do. I remember when I had a 50-megabyte hard drive, and I thought, I will never fill up a 50-megabyte hard drive.
Yep.
Now, this podcast is almost 50 megabytes after we compress it as an MP3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as we're working on it right now, it's probably getting close to, well, it's 38 minutes right now. So that would be around 700 megabytes.
Yep.
I couldn't even fit this show recording it on that old machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't been that long ago. Not really.
Yeah.
That's been about 10 years ago. So what's it going to be like in just 2 years from now? Things are getting faster, bigger, mm-hmm. more efficient. And instead of buying a brand new computer every couple years, if you have a Mac Pro, you can simply upgrade the processor for a third of the cost
mm-hmm.
and continue on for maybe it's only another year that you're going to continue on, but it's only a third of the cost.
Yep.
So you're getting 4 years out of the same machine rather than 2.5, 3,
mm-hmm.
and it's only costing you maybe, you know, $899 to upgrade the processor.
Yep.
Or upgrade the RAM because you can put significantly more RAM in it, or put more hard drives inside of it that are going to be fast. So that's really the demographic for the Mac Pros. You're always going to get those guys that get it.
Because they want it.
They want it, and it's fast, and they get the 30-inch mm-hmm. monitor and two of them, and, you know, mm-hmm. they get all that crap. And all they ever do is post on other websites, comments and stuff. They never do anything original on their own, but it's cool. You know, look, I can have iTunes in one window doing its screensaver thing, and over here I'm looking at this, and you see pictures. If you go up on Flickr, you can look up like Mac pictures, Mac desktops, and see different setups people have. Some of them are very impressive, but you got to wonder, what are they doing with all that horsepower? Realistically, if you see it in a like they had those pictures of from Microsoft where they had the server farms, and they had just row after row after row of Macs that did nothing but test their software and stuff like that, then you know that those Macs are being put to the use that they were intended for. They're really cranking out the power. But when someone's at home and they have, you know, a 3 gigahertz Mac Pro, and all they do is play games on it or browse the internet, that's overkill. They could have got away with a 20-inch iMac and been just as happy. And realistically, browsing the internet's not going to be any faster on a Mac Pro as it is in an iMac.
Yep.
Listening to music isn't going to be any different.
No.
Crunching video would be different. Adding effects in Photoshop will be different. So it really depends on what you're doing with your Mac and what the end result's going to be. Whether you're going to be upgrading it eventually, or this is going to be good enough for 2 years. If you're just going to use it for 2 years and you know you're going to replace it, don't get a Mac Pro. Get an iMac. Save some screen real estate.
And frankly, even 2 years is pretty conservative. I mean, for the most part, you're going to be looking at much longer.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a lot of people and a lot of folks that write for the website who've had
the same machine for
going back to the original blue iMacs.
Yeah, and it's not unheard of for Mac users to keep their machines a little bit longer than most PC users. And you know, the thing is with PC users, they'll upgrade and they'll get a new machine, but it really doesn't feel like a new machine to them because it's still Windows. It's still it's running all these virus and spyware protection programs underneath, which is killing the processor speeds. It's killing the resources of the computer. It's slowing everything down. Where on a Mac, we don't need that.
Yeah.
We don't have, with Mac OS X, we don't have any viruses. I don't know anybody who runs a virus protection outside of a professional setting on a Macintosh. And then they only run it on the professional setting for business reasons. Well, we better run this because if something does happen, our insurance company is going to wonder why we didn't have virus protection on the machines, even though it's a Mac, you know.
And it also will filter out crap that comes through the email that can infect
PC users, yeah, exactly. So, I hope we answer your question, Ivan.
Yeah.
And I hope you never know. Maybe you'll show up in Grand Rapids. I should say if he shows up in Grand Rapids, I'm definitely going to give him something.
No, oh, I'd be cool.
He's called into the show three times. I think he deserves something.
Oh yeah.
If you show up in Grand Rapids, come up to me and say, "I'm Ivan," and I'll recognize the voice. So, in fact, what you got to do if you actually do show up in Grand Rapids, tell me your area code, because I know what it is.
Yep.
and an imposter may not know what it is, although he does say where he's at, and that's they true. Could always Google that, but still, no one's that clever. that's the show this week. We want to thank smalldog.com for sponsoring the podcast. If you're looking for one of those new 5.5 generation iPods or one of the really cool Nanos, I think the new Nanos are really cool. They so look like a mini.
I know it.
They really do.
Or, hey, if you're looking for a new iMac, there you go.
Smalldog.com is the place to go.
I also like to thank Innotech.com for hosting our website and providing our web hosting services.
If you visit MyMac.com on a regular basis, you're visiting Innotech.com as well. They host our server, and they host all the files that you downloaded to listen to this podcast. If you watch any videos, that's where it came from, unless it's YouTube.
Yep.
But you still got to go to Innotech to get there anyways.
And that's INNO-TECH.com.
Yep. We'd appreciate it if you're looking for a website to give them some consideration, because I think you'd really be happy with them. They're a good company.
And if you'd like to send us comments like Ivan does over Skype, you can use our Skype number, 1-801-938-5559.
And you can find that up on the website under Show 99 on the notes. You'll find our phone number. You can call it from any phone number that you like. And we want to ask you guys, what's it mean to be a Mac user to you? If you want to call that phone number and leave us a message, we'll be happy to play it. What does it mean to be a Mac user? I think it's a little different today than it was, say, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. I mean, 10 years ago, we were worried about Apple going out of business, right?
Yeah.
So you had all these Mac evangelists out there trying to keep the platform alive because we cared so much for the Mac. I don't want to say for Apple, but for the Mac. These were Mac evangelists.
Yep.
Now, Apple's doing great. Apple doesn't need us to evangelize a damn thing. Mm-hmm. But we're still evangelizing it in, to some degree or another. Why? It's not so Apple will survive. It's so we could take our PC brethren and bring them over to the way computing should be done. To me, that's what it's, the show is really about. Keeping people using the Mac because we know how bad it is on the PC side.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want them to go over there and get stung by that mess. Oh, one more thing before we sign off. I'm not happy with Microsoft right now.
No.
My Xbox 360 died.
Oh, you're kidding. You just got that.
Two and a half months. 2.5 months. Turned it on, and it has this little ring of green on it. Turned red.
Ooh.
No matter what I did, I went through all the troubleshooting, unhook all the cables, disconnect the hard drive, start it up, take the disk out, tried everything. It's dead. Just dead. This is a game system. A game system shouldn't die within 2.5 months.
No.
I can understand if I beat the crap out of it, but I doubt if I put 40 hours worth of gameplay on that thing, and it sits in one spot, never moves, nobody ever touches it but me, and it died that soon? That's BS.
You still under warranty on that
thing? Yes, I am. I'm under warranty. I called, and the conversation went something like, yeah, my Xbox 360 just died, and I need help. I needed to break it. I couldn't understand damn what he said. I'm glad that people in India, in this case, are getting jobs.
Yep.
And call center work in India is great work.
Yep.
It's very prestigious. And so I applaud them for getting those jobs and bettering their society by having these type of businesses that's bringing up their own population, blah, blah, blah. However, as an American calling tech support, at the very least, I should be able to understand the person I'm talking to. And I don't say this out of any ugly American, ignorant American sort of way. This is true for anybody. If you're in Germany and you call tech support, at the very least, the person you're talking to should speak German to help you. You're the customer. I could only understand one out of every five words this person said. And that's just not acceptable to me.
Right.
And it was worked out. I finally, after spending way more time on the telephone than I needed to, simply because of translation problems, that they're sending me an empty box. It should be here sometime this week. I take my hard drive off the Xbox, because it's got that external hard drive. That's where all my game data stored. You know, I unplug all the cables, and I just send the console back. And then within 2 to 3 weeks later, I'll get it back, and it'll be repaired. Which is great, but now I've got a month without it, and there's no compensation for me. I'm just screwed because I spent $400 for an Xbox 360 that I'm going to not have a third of the time that I've owned it so far. And I just don't find that acceptable. What I would have found acceptable, after they ran the serial number, so they knew it was mine, if they would have asked me for a credit card number for security reasons, in which case I would give them, and they would send me a brand new, just a core, just the, you know, not the hard drive, not the cables. They sent me that, and I sent them my old one. That would have been acceptable.
So basically something similar to what I did with the MacBook when I had the RAM problem. They basically sent me the new RAM chip, sent me the mailer that goes with it, said, give us your old ones, ship it back to us.
That's the way it should be.
Yep.
And this is a game console. Now, obviously, that's not mission critical like a computer when you have RAM. You don't want to send any or down without a computer for a week or so. But nevertheless, this is a $400 game system. That's very expensive. Games cost $60 on it.
Yeah.
I've got two games right now that I play on it. Three games, I'm sorry. No, four games. I keep remembering. So I've got four games, so that's, you know, that's $200 right there. So I've got $600 tied up in the Xbox 360 that I can't do nothing with. And that ticks me off. Why couldn't they just send me a replacement and I return my old one? I would have been happy to give them a credit card number, and if I don't send, if they don't get it back within a week, they bill me the, you know.
Yeah, and that's what Apple did with me with the RAM. So
And so that way they're secure, you're secure.
And the problem solved.
And I tried to ask this person about that, but his English skills were so poor, and I'm not saying that as a negative because he's Indian. He's not English. He's not American. So of course he's not going to have great English skills. Although Klaus and Mazin does. they have better English skills than I do. But, you know, you understand my point.
Right.
If I'm a customer, the company I'm dealing with is an American company, Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
The product is defective, and I want help. I can't even speak to someone who can... the only person that I seem to get a hold of is someone that barely speaks my own language. Mm-hmm. I don't find that acceptable on any level at all.
Yeah.
He was a nice guy, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I couldn't ask him complex questions because he just...
scripting.
Yes, he was scripting. He was reading from a card.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't understand when I kept saying, could you send me a new one? He didn't understand, mm-hmm. you know, can I talk to someone else that has better English skills that will understand mm-hmm. what I'm asking? Is there any other troubleshooting things that I could look at that may fix this quickly?
Right.
He couldn't answer any of those questions because he was reading from a script, and he really didn't understand half the things I was saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a hard time understanding him. I'm sure he had a hard time understanding me. You would think, if you're going to hire someone, a company, to do your tech support, at the very least, they would competently speak the language of the people calling. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm going to get it fixed, but I'm going to be without it for at least a month.
Yeah.
And that ticks me off. I could live with it if the tech support would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
Better as in, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? You know?
Yeah.
So there's that. So I'm not happy with Microsoft right now. Mm-hmm. Woe is me.
Yep.
Oh, well. I'll content myself with the knowledge that there's a new Grand Theft Auto game coming for the PSP next month. With that, we're out of here. Hopefully, I'll see quite a few of you in Grand Rapids, Michigan, September 23rd,
3
p.m. This Saturday. Yep, if you're listening to this and it's not September 23rd yet, you still have time to get there. We'd really love to see you. We really got some great stuff to give away. We've got to give it away. I'm not taking anything home with me. I've got enough computer stuff in my house. My wife does not want me to have anything else right now. Trust me. I've got enough iPod cases. I don't need any more. We've got iPod cases to give away. We've got keyboard mice to give away. We've got copy of Office to give away. We've got products to watch TV on your Mac. Not just to watch it, but record it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some really cool and valuable stuff to give away.
That's
check
right.
out our website. During the show 100, you'll see all the list of stuff that we give away. We will be bringing a camera. We're going to take some pictures. We're going to interview people while we're there.
Yep.
Really, really hope to see you guys there, and we'll see you then. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.